happen on time and on budget. They offer an extensive line of products as well as design services. Minuteman Press may be reached online at cuprinting.com, in person at 905 South Neal Street in Champaign, or by calling 217-355-0500. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with parent, advocate, and consultant Ed McManus. But first, disability news for the week of July 12, 2021. On July 1st, the Department of Education released over $3 billion in American Rescue Plan funds to support 7.9 million infants, toddlers, and students with disabilities being served under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Miguel Cardona, U.S. Secretary of Education, said of the move, quote, "We know that COVID-19 and disruptions in access to in-person learning over the last year have taken a disproportionate toll on America's children with disabilities, who far too often amid the pandemic experience challenges in receiving the services and supports they were entitled to. It's long past time that the federal government makes good on its commitments to students with disabilities and their families, and today's announcement is one of many steps the Biden-Harris administration has taken to support students with disabilities. With these crucial American Rescue Plan funds, our early intervention providers and schools will be better able to address the needs of infants, toddlers, children, and youth with disabilities and ensure our education system reemerges even stronger than before the pandemic," end quote. A federal appeals court has overturned a Food and Drug Administration ban on devices used to use electric shocks on people with developmental disabilities, allowing the devices to continue to be used to address behavior issues. In a 2-1 opinion this month, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit found that the FDA overstepped its authority when it issued a regulation last year to ban what are known as electrical stimulation devices. The devices send electrical shocks through electrodes attached to the skin in order to condition people not to engage in self-injurious or aggressive behaviors. The devices are only known to be used at one place, the Judge Rottenberg Educational Center in Canton, Massachusetts, which serves children and adults with developmental disabilities, as well as those with behavioral and emotional problems. The facility has faced criticism for years from disability advocates who argue that skin shocks amount to torture. But backers of the center insist that the electric shocks offer a necessary option for people with severe behaviors who have exhausted other treatments. When the FDA finalized the regulation, it cited an unreasonable and substantial risk of illness or injury from the devices, pointing to evidence of psychological and physical risks, including burns, tissue damage, worsening underlying symptoms, depression, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress disorder. The federal appeals court determined that while the FDA has the authority to ban a device, the agency acted inappropriately because the regulation only allows for the devices for other uses. The court found that such a limited ban amounted to regulating the practice of medicine, which is outside the purview of the FDA. Currently, the Rotenberg Center said it uses the device called the Graduated Electronic Decelerator, or GED, with 51 residents, all of whom are adults. The court's decision means that the practice can continue. The GED is a treatment of last resort, and it's according to the Rotenberg Center in a statement that, quote, the GED is a treatment of last resort and its recipients are at risk of grievous bodily harm or even death without it. With the treatment, these residents can live. And that's the news for this week. And you are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm happy to welcome my guest on the phone today, Ed McManus. Ed is, I told him before the show that he, I think, is our most frequent guest these days. So, and a very knowledgeable and experienced person in the world of disability, especially in Illinois. So welcome to the program, Ed.
Thank you, Vicki.
So I invited you to talk specifically about the situation with the institution in Anna, Illinois. The name escapes me at the moment, but there have
Schott.
That's right, Schott. And they have had some issues. I don't know. You know, you never know who's listened over the course of weeks. So would you take a minute to first introduce yourself again and then kind of delve into what's gone on with this developmental center down south?
Sure, Vicki. I think there's a little echo on the phone. Well, maybe now it's gone, but do you hear me okay?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I was talking about me.
Oh, okay. No, I don't hear an echo at all, so I think you're
okay,
good.
That's good. Okay, well, thank you for the introduction. I am a disability consultant. I'm located in the northern suburbs of Chicago, and I worked for about 18 years for the Department of Human Services in a variety of capacities as an attorney and as an administrator of disability programs. And then I retired 10 years ago and set up my own consulting practice. And before that, I worked for the Chicago Tribune for many years as a reporter and editor. And I should have probably mentioned first that my wife Ellen and I are the parents of a daughter, Laura, who has a severe disability. So we have become very aware and familiar with the system as a result of that happening. So that's who I am.
Yeah, and not only so are you not only knowledgeable about all of this, but you have skin in the game, right? Because you have a daughter.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So let's talk about Schott, because you have a newsletter that keeps folks very well informed on all the things going on in the state of Illinois related to disability issues. But Schott has been kind of at the top of your list for about a month or two now. So kind of summarize what has happened to date and what has most recently happened.
I'd be happy to. The Schott Developmental Center is located in Anna, which is in far southern Illinois, and Schott is one of seven large institutions that provide care to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in Illinois. And as a matter of fact, I think that there's only two states in the country that have more people in institutions than Illinois, and that's Texas and New York. We have over 1,600 people, and it's quite expensive to operate these facilities. So there's a number of us have been pushing for years to get the to get Illinois kind of in line with the rest of the country to shut down these institutions, or at least shut down most of them, to save a lot of money, and more importantly, to allow the residents of these facilities to live in the community, in real group homes and real neighborhoods.
And not to make the people think that you're, trying to promote something that is unexplored. How many states roughly are there who have no institutions at all?
I think that there's at least 15 states that have none. So they all used to have them, and then they've gradually gotten away from it because they have realized that that's not the best way to provide services to people with DD.
So Illinois currently has 7, Choate being the one that's been in the news most often. And why is that?
Well, back in March, I was doing some research, and I came upon the fact that there had been a total of 9 members of the Choate staff who had been indicted during the past year. And all of these indictments related to attacks on the residents of the institution, which is just shocking, especially to people like you and I, who are the parents of individuals with disabilities, to think that, you know, we would entrust them to someone's care, and they wind up getting beaten up by the very staff that are supposed to be taking care of them. So it's a pretty shocking story. So I ran an article in the newsletter about it. We had 5 of those staff members that showed were charged with aggravated battery. And the other 4 were charged with either official misconduct or obstructing justice. In other words, they weren't the actual attackers, but they were involved in one way or another, including lying to the police about what had happened and so forth. And so these attacks, some of them involved whipping a person with a belt. Another one was choking a person. Another one was forcing a person to drink a cup of hot sauce, which really sounds awful.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an awful lot of people who are terribly disturbed by these reports. And so my original report was that these 9 people were indicted in the course of the year, and they were all awaiting trial. And then I've had a number of follow-up stories about what's been happening to them in the court. And there haven't been any trials yet, but the first trial is scheduled for sometime in August. And, you know, as with most of these court cases, they drag on forever. But that's because the lawyers have a right to make sure that due process is followed, and we have to consider these folks innocent until proven guilty. So, and all of these people have been removed from the staff in the meantime, as far as I know. So then, subsequently, there's been a new investigation that determined that the director of the SHOW Developmental Center, who is a man by the name of Brian Davis, and two of his top assistants were under investigation for breaking confidentiality rules in connection with this whole thing, and kind of working on behalf of some of the people who had originally been accused. And so then these three people were recently indicted, I think just a couple of weeks or so ago.
The director and his two assistants.
They were indicted for, again, they weren't the attackers, but they were allegedly breaking the law in support of some of the attackers. And so they were charged with official misconduct and obstructing justice. So then the next development is that the Department of Human Services announced that these people were going to remain on the job, that they were, you would think that at the very least they would be put on some kind of administrative leave, and, you know, even if they are continue to be paid, that somebody who has been indicted in connection with attacks on residents shouldn't be continuing to operate the facility. And so a number of us called out about that. The state's attorney was quoted as saying that it was asinine, and I had to agree with them. And a couple of the legislators were speaking out and saying this is unconscionable, this is deplorable. So thank goodness, a couple of days later, the governor's office or the department or whoever came to their senses and realized that it was a bad idea to keep these indicted officials on the job. So they have now been removed. They again, we're not presuming that they're guilty. We're just saying it's not appropriate for them to continue to run the place given the circumstances. So new people have been appointed to take over the operation of SHOAT, and that's kind of where it stands now.
Please tell me they haven't been moved to other institutions.
Not real clear. I think they might have been moved to the central office in Springfield, but they didn't really say where they had been moved to, but at least they're no longer running SHOAT. So the statements that the department has issued have not been terribly informative, but that's what we have to go on.
I know you've been fighting the battle for closure of institutions, and particularly SHOAT, which back, I'm thinking in 2008, Equip for Equality had a report that really talked about how poor the conditions were for the residents there. And after all these years, nothing has been done to shut that one down. Where is that effort at the state level?
The effort is nowhere. I mean, it's just you're absolutely right, Vicki, that for years and years, a lot of us have been saying, "Hey, we got to do something about this," and basically the governors and the legislature have not addressed it, and it goes on and on. So. That's absolutely right that SHOAT in particular has been under investigation by various organizations, and we just keep hoping that the state of Illinois will get wise to all this one of these days.
Yeah, when Governor Pritzker got elected, I had high hopes that we'd get people in there that would actually see the light and find a way to make this happen, and maybe it will eventually, but I don't think in my lifetime.
Well, I've felt the same way, and I haven't given up on Governor Pritzker, and we realize that he's got a lot of other issues besides just this that are plaguing him. So I'm still hopeful that we will get something, but we can't give up. We have to keep pushing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, why don't we move on to another topic? I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the NOFO, and I think that that probably needs to be, what is that, and what do people need to know about it?
Yeah, the NOFO, N-O-F-O, stands for Notice of Funding Opportunity, and when the state wants to contract with somebody to carry out a function, contract with somebody outside of state government, they put out an announcement, and it's referred to as the Notice of Funding Opportunity. If you're interested in this opportunity to do some work for the state, here's what you have to do.
Right. So the theory is everybody
calls it the NOFO for short.
But we have money and we want you to do X, Y, or Z. And if you write a proposal that says what we want, then we're going to give you the money. That's essentially what you're talking
about. That's right. And if I write up a better proposal than you, that which is unlikely, I should say, if you write a better proposal than I do, Vicki, and you say that your organization could do the job the best, and the state examines them and decides that yours is the application, then the contract goes to you. And what we're talking about is a program called Independent Service Coordination. And so we're not talking about the actual provider agencies that operate the group homes and take care of our individuals with disabilities. We're talking about the coordinators who are responsible for assisting families and individuals and obtaining funding from the state, and then they're responsible for keeping an eye on the providers and making sure that money is well spent. So we have a system throughout the state of these coordination agencies, and in the past they have been automatically had their contracts renewed from year to year unless some big problem comes up. And so the system, which most people thought worked pretty well, was that as long as these agencies are doing the job, there's no reason why their contracts can't be renewed from year to year. But if they're not doing the job, then they would be replaced. And so during the time that Governor Rauner was in charge, they decided that the administration decided they didn't want to do it that way anymore, that they wanted to do this NOFO process, which sets up a competition, and that's where my organization and your organization compete as to which one is going to be picked, and the state decides which of our applications is the best. And so that process took place in 2018 and 2019 and turned out to be a terrible mess. There were just so many mistakes made, and as a result of that process, three really good organizations were put out of business. They lost the competition, and three other agencies who each just had, or not three, but two other agencies who each had one region of the state ended up being awarded three regions apiece. And so so then there was an audit done by the Office of Auditor General that concluded that there were 274 irregularities. I laugh as say this, and I shouldn't, but I mean it's just so outrageous that there would be 274 irregularities in the scoring of the applications. And so now the department has announced that they're going to do this all over again starting in the fall.
Oh,
and many of us were just in a state of shock that they would actually go back and do the same system over again. And we thought that it would make so much sense for them to just go back to the previous system, which had been working so well for 30 or so years.
Yeah, and I know they have a lot of different concerns at the state level, but I'm coming at it from the perspective of a parent. And if I'm working with an agency and I've had a relationship with this agency for a number of years, what do I do when they decide they're just going to shut that one down and move all the services to another? You've got a whole new relationship to build then. And I'm talking not only me, but literally thousands upon thousands of families.
That's right. And so they have the system that they have now is they have a 3-year contract. And at the end of the 3 years, they have this competition, and then another agency could come in and get a better score than your score, your agency, and your agency would be out the door, and then this new one who had no idea about you and your son or daughter, and their history and their needs would be taking over, and you'd kind of have to start all over again. Every 3 years, mm-hmm. you would be confronted possibly with having to reacquaint yourself with a brand new organization. So there are just many of us who feel that just doesn't make any sense at all. It's not that we don't believe in competition, and in fact, if an agency is found to not be doing a job, then they would set up a competition, and other agencies could come in and say we'd like to take over. So that would be reasonable. But as long as my agency and your agency are doing a decent job, we should be able to continue that, and the family should have that continuity. So that's just something that we are working very hard on to try to convince the department that they need to go back to the old system.
So for the people who are interested in seeing this process be different, to go back to the old way of doing it, or people who are more interested in the closure of institutions in the state of Illinois, what can they do to help move this forward?
Well, I would say, you know, contacting the governor's office, writing a letter to the governor, and if you go on the state website, you can find out how to do that. And we got together 100 families and had them write an open letter to Governor Pritzker, and we haven't gotten a response yet. But we urged Governor Pritzker to step in and say we shouldn't be doing it this way. We should go back to the old way. So I think the only way that any of this is going to be resolved, either with the Schott Center or with the service coordination agencies, if enough people like you and I speak out and let the government know that we're upset about it.
Yeah. So if people want more information about this, your newsletter is a great way to get it. So why don't you let folks know how they can sign up for your letter?
Sure. My newsletter comes out once a month, but lately I've been putting out special editions because there's been so much going on. And my newsletter appears on Facebook. I have a name of my organization, which I think I neglected to mention, is McManus Consulting, and you can find it on Facebook. And you can also find the newsletter on the LinkedIn site under my name, Ed McManus, and I certainly would encourage people to check that out and become more informed.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Ed. It's always a pleasure. I learn a lot from talking to you. So thank you for that, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
I hope we will. Thank you.
Ed McManus of McManus Consulting. Thanks for joining us. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week. Down, gonna stand. And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1.